listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
She doesn't wear costume jewelry, and she knew that Walt Disney was / is making a fortune off false eyelashes, and that Time magazine is the authority on the Negro. Her makeup is total real. A Negro English instructor called her a fine Negro poet. A white critic said she's a credit to the Negro race. Somebody else called her a pure Negro writer. Johnny May, who's a senior in high school, said she and Langston are the only Negro poets we've read in school, and I understand her. Pee Wee used to carry one of her poems around in his back pocket, the one about being cool. That was before Pee Wee was cool by a cop's warning shot. Into the 60s, a word was born, black. And with black came poets. And from the poets, ballpoints came black, double black, purple black, blue black, being black, was black, day before yesterday, blacker than the ultra black, super black, black, yellow black, nigger black, white man, black than you ever been, black than you ever bees, 1/4 black, unblack, cold black, clear black, my mama, blacker than your mama, pimple black, tall, black so black we can't even see you, black on black, is in black, by black, technically black, Manta black, winter black, cool black, 360 degrees black, cold black, midnight black, black when it's convenient, rusty black, moon black star black, summer black, electron black, spaceman black, shoe shine black, gym shoe black, underwear black, ugly black, Aunt Jemima black, Uncle Ben's rice black, Willie Best black, black is beautiful black, just discovered black, Negro black, unsubstance black. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on Saturday morning ready to do some feedback stuff. That's when we talk about the things you had to say throughout the week, about the things we had to say throughout the week. So this is your chance as an audience to kind of get your voice heard. You know, people write in. You can leave voicemail 704-557-0186. You can make sure they're 2 minutes or less, though, by the way. There is a time limit on that. You can vote in the polls, theblackouttips.com. Each episode has a post where you can comment, vote in the polls. You can give us money. theblackouttips.com on the right hand side, just, you know, donate whatever amount you feel, one time, recurring, it's up to you. You can also do stuff like become premium, theblackouttips / premium, and of course you can also email us, theblackouttips@gmail.com. there's a lot of ways to get in contact with us.
It is.
And we also read 5-star reviews today, so we had one that's in iTunes and one in Stitcher, and we will read both of those 5-star reviews. So yes, thank you for taking the time out to do that as well. We appreciate y'all.
We do.
Whew, that was a lot of stuff. I guess first and foremost, though, we need to thank the people who gave us money.
We do.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day and new dough. Okay, so it's time to get out here and thank the people who hooked us up today. Let's see who it was. Got a one-time donation from Mio, who says, wish it was more. Well, you know what? We don't care. Any amount is enough.
Come on.
As long as you are giving us your rent money before you pay your rent,
we good.
We don't care if you get kicked out your house. This is all about us. I need to get a new car. Cynthia D, thank you. Mm-hmm. Marvin B, yes, Marvin B. Bambi H, thank you, Bambi.
Yes.
We got a brand new recurring donation from Kevin W. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Appreciate you. Welcome to the new members class. Kimberly J, aka Falcons Diva, hooked us up. She took a picture of her Black Guy with Tips shirt overseas.
Yeah, she did. International shirts.
Gallivanting around the globe. We got Jason F. Thank you so much. Aisha Y, thank you. Mm-hmm. Halle Q H, thank you. Pamela A B. Asia D.
Yes.
Oh, Asia. Asia D. Asia D. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we got. Donna N. Thank you very much, Donna. Appreciate you. Oh, Donna. That's what I think of Cleveland show. You guys don't know that. Donna, Derek W. Thank you. Felicity F. Thank you as well.
Yes.
Harold W. Linwood C. Going way back. Mm-hmm. It's like when the old black men in church would just be like, wow. Wow. Noel W, thank you very much. B. Coleman, thank you. Floyd L, thank you, Floyd. Melanike I, thank you. Mm-hmm. Cedric W, thank you. Preston W, appreciate you.
We do.
Marcus E, appreciate you, Marcus. And that's everybody. All right, cool. Thank you guys. Even though I've been there for a while, still I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile. Smile for me. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me. You see a woman walking down the street, just yell this at her from your car.
Please don't. You might get arrested.
Pull the window down or just turn this song up. Mm-mm. They can't arrest you for listening to music. Oh man. All right, guys. I don't know.
Please don't. We like for our friends to be free.
Just walk by a group of women walking down the street minding their business and turn this on. Smile. You should add your own ad libs like Kurt Franklin. Smile, bitch, smile for me.
No.
Won't you just smile? Well, if you ain't fine in anyway, for me.
No.
You ugly bitch.
I object.
That's how street callers be.
Right. That's how you sound to women. I don't know why you think you sound all smooth. I can't, a random woman.
I can't even say hi to women no more, Karen. Wow. No, really? Wow.
Apparently you can't.
I can't even speak to women no more.
You can't. Don't even speak to your mama.
Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It is, ain't it? It don't make no sense at all. It's stupid, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. I just can't believe this. Y'all really tripping. I can't even say hi.
Nope, you sure okay?
Just because I don't know how to talk to nobody.
Come on,
check it out. 5 stars on iTunes. Got this review. Neptune 800 says, this podcast is funny, entertaining, and informative. Host Rod and Karen report on political news, pop culture, and other current events. I can't wait to hear their take on the latest happenings. This podcast has it all, including puns and sore ratchetness. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all we need. Five stars. It's that simple. Imagine that. It only takes a few minutes. And we appreciate everybody takes time out to do that.
We do.
We also got a 5-star review on Stitcher today. Spiv, S-P-I-V, 5 stars, said, this is 15 hours ago. This is fresh. Hot off the presses. The dopest of the dopest and the wokest of the wokest. The goldest of the goldest. You'll learn, laugh, experience, grow, and evolve, or at least I did. Don't know what I'd do without these two in my ears to counteract the never-ending wave of whiteness that my life and my job heap upon me. Rod is the podcasting what Carl is to the Z-Pac. He's built for this. Sugar honey iced tea. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, little Fetty Carl, when I think about him, still get a little choked up, man. I miss that dude. Had to make that work. Laugh my ass off. Yay, because you can't cuss. But I feel you. And Karen's laugh and accent are like the first bite of sweet potato pie on Thanksgiving. Almost make you forget about the genocide.
Not the genocide.
All in all, the greatest podcast on two speakers. Thank you so much, Spiv. We appreciate you.
We do.
And if you want to leave those reviews, like I said, iTunes, you just log in. Leave us 5 stars. Drop out, you know, let us know, you know, what you think, and if it's nice, we'll read it on the air. Mm-hmm. And Stitcher, I think you have to go online to leave a review. I think you can't do it from the app.
No, you can't.
So yeah, you just go online, search the Blackout Tips Stitcher, it'll come up, and then like right before, like if you scroll down the page, right after it shows you like these are the top episodes, you can go ahead and and like us, you know what I'm saying? Leave us 5 stars. So thank you. All right, let's get into the comments that we had on the episode. I checked Skype. We didn't have any voicemails this week. Okay. So we're good on that end. Let's get to your comments though.
Remember to do last week's Walking Dead.
I think I did when we okay. did our recap okay. this week. Okay. I read those comments, so
okay, I wanted to be sure we didn't forget.
Yeah, we're good on that. I could kind of make that recurrent thing, but I'm not going to, just in case. All right, so we had episode let me make sure this is right. Yeah, 1629, Fresh Prince of Wakanda, where Amon wrote in that hilarious Fresh Prince remix of of Black Panther from the perspective of Killmonger. Yes. And it was so funny. All right, so this is a feedback episode. We did get how many comments? No comments. Okay, we did get a poll though. The poll was, do you dance in public? Because I couldn't think of nothing else to talk about. All of them can't be winners, guys. All right, some of these polls are just me trying to freestyle and figure something out. All right, but yeah, the poll was, do you dance in public? 61% of y'all do, and 38% of y'all don't. I don't dance in public.
I do.
Right, so right there, right in the middle of the show, we got our own little got our own little poll going.
I know, right?
Episode 1360, The Little Things. We had 5 comments on this one. Let me get to this. All right, so Michelle says, this is off topic, but relevant to this episode. I think one of the most annoying expressions I've ever heard in the corporate world is the saying, it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. The perfect example of privilege is the assumption that you will always be forgiven for whatever you do.
Come on.
Hearing people say it always puts me in a certain mood, and I give you one guess who says it the most.
Yeah, when they're trying to get around the rules or circumvent a situation, and a lot of times they say that when they're trying to cheat somebody over.
Yeah, I watched Dirty Money, the that Netflix thing, and yeah, like that seemed like just a whole ass like
y'all
series about people who just decided like, you know what, dog, I'ma do what the fuck I wanna do, and then we'll see if I go to jail. And in a lot of cases, it's kind of disheartening, but nothing really happened to them.
And that's if they have to pay any fines.
Yeah, like in a lot of cases, they just got to go do whatever the fuck they felt like doing, and
the company might have to pay fines, the company might actually go under, but the individual person, no.
Just out there living the best white woman lives they got. Just
come
doing,
on, to the after doing fullest.
All that shit. So yeah, and that was a lot of corporate crime and stuff. Marcy says, that white nationalist teacher is a nightmare. It's that shit that makes me seriously side-eye every white person around me. But you guys with Black Twitter CSI jokes is so hilarious. It has me torn. Like, I want it to be a thing because it's great, but it sucks that it actually needs to exist in the first place.
Come on.
Well, welcome to our podcast. That's just pretty much.
Right. We have, what you call that, the gallows humor on everything.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't have any unfunny friends. And I don't think I can kick it with unfunny people.
No.
Like, you know, like those, like there's certain people that I know they're not funny by nature, but sometimes they take a shining to me and they allow me to be funny. So right. Like, and I can tell in our interactions, like they're kind of tolerating me being funny.
Right.
And they're tolerating the fact that like, I must feel like Bugs Bunny to them sometimes. Cause it's like, this nigga think everything a joke, but it's not that I think everything's a joke.
No,
it's
you
just,
don't.
I know there's a time for seriousness and all this shit, but in order for me to cope, I have to process a lot of things with humor. And if you can't relate, you can't relate, you know? But it's the same way that I don't claim people get fake offended or they're right. being too sensitive. Cause right. I have an understanding of the fact that some people don't cope with humor and they don't think anything is funny. And
right.
there's certain things that are quote unquote off limits to them that in my mind, I'm like, that's not off limits to me. Even if I've experienced that thing. It's not a matter of like privilege where I'm like, I've experienced racism. I've never experienced racism. So racism is funny. No, I have experienced racism. I still laugh at racism.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of thing where no one gets to decide for me how to handle shit. But, yeah, this show is kind of that. Like when people hear this show, I mean, if they like this show, they kind of understand where we come from. Even when we're talking about oppression and depressing things and some of these like horrible laws and terrible tragic stories, we still gonna find a way to laugh, because ultimately that's how I survive.
Correct.
You know, and I like to kind of pass that on to other people, and if people can't take it or if it makes it worse for them, I please move on. We're not, I don't want to ever force anyone to listen, but yeah, we absolutely love, I mean, like, Black Twitter CSI is funny because racist shit happens and somebody got to find out who did it. So.
Somebody.
Anthony says, listen, I love hoodies. I love Black Twitter and I love the blackout tips. So when I went to TeePublic website and seen that I could get all three in one, nigga, as for the racist ass teacher, fuck her. By the way, that theme song for Black Twitter CSI is every time you play it, I was chanting Black Twitter CSI, nigga. Black Twitter CSI, nigga. KLB said that Black Twitter CSI theme song is everything. Y'all the best for kind of forever. Yeah, that's crazy. We just found that live on the air. Just searching,
just a beat drop. I'm like, hey.
I know. That's how I be feeling whenever I, like, you know why? Cause that's the feeling that I get every time somebody information is leaking.
Yeah.
After they say some racist shit. That's that feeling you have, like you turn on your phone,
it's
and just
a slow build too.
Like, oh, here we go. Oh shit. She work at AMC Movies.
Yes.
Fire this bitch. AMC release a statement like, hey, we do not condone racism from any of our popcorn makers. I don't even care. In that moment, that might be the least empathetic I ever am. Cause I don't give a fuck. Once you say or do some racist shit online, I'll be like, I don't care if you lose your $6.75 job. I don't care if you gotta go to the po house. I don't care if your kids can't eat tonight. Like, shouldn't have been racist on the internet. You don't deserve to be out here in the public. Now, I know that's kind of harsh sounding, and it is harsh, but it ain't as harsh as calling me a nigga. So fuck you. I'm not required to give a fuck about that.
Cause guess what? You didn't give a fuck when you was calling me a goddamn nigga.
Right. I always see people be like, I'm not sure. I feel kind of bad. I don't think people should lose their job. I'm like, well, then they shouldn't be on the internet calling me nigga either.
Come on.
It's like white people having fucking nigga X games, going on the internet.
Right. And going on social media. To protest it.
Like, we supposed to be scoring them and shit. Oh, that's a 9.5 for the dismount on that nigga. You know? He was on Snapchat. Perfect use of the platform. Got a little weak. She stumbled on the first couple of niggers, but she finished strong. Like, I'm sick of that shit, man. Anyway, EVE says, I'm still laughing about the he boo-booed on himself part of Ricky Ross's story. Why? Because I'm immature and have a sense of humor of a 9-year-old boy. I still want to know who made that call, because that just doesn't
that
sound like
that normally does not come out, because shit like that happens all the time to people. It's a human function when certain things happen to your body.
I think that's what happened when you're Rick Ross is 42. You probably just fucking with like some ATM strippers or something that had to make the call. Who knows? He boo-booed on himself. The poll was, will that white nationalist teacher be fired? Yes or no? 43% said yes, and 57 said no. I think she's been fired already.
Word?
I think so.
Okay. No, because nobody racist. So
I think I have the update article, and I'm sure I'll get to it in a second. I mean, in a couple days or tomorrow, or whatever. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they removed her. But I don't know. Let's see. Oh, this is 5 days ago. She's removed from the classroom. Investigation is ongoing. So, maybe not fired yet. So, we'll see. I do think she will get fired. That's my guess. Her excuse, by the way, was that the podcast was satire. She's playing a little jokey joke. Which I ain't got no sense of humor.
I guess I don't then.
You know how, you know how you make a lot of jokes about killing black people and shit.
I don't have a sense of humor at all. Like,
political
it is,
satire
it is zero.
Exaggeration. You do a little exaggeration, Karen? You ever do that?
Mm-mm.
Keep in mind, she also bragged about hiding it from other teachers and the school administration. That was also, I guess, part of the joke. When the students reported her and she lied to the principal.
Come on.
Principal must have just, hey, I got you. It's a prank. That should be the next excuse for racism. Just everybody says it's a prank when they get caught. Like Chris Brown's like, oh no, I was beating Rihanna for a joke. Ha ha. y'all just don't get it. Y'all just, okay, wow.
Apparently she didn't get it either.
Right. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but they're investigating now, which, man, I would hate to be a big school or something like that in the news cycle now. Because, like, the problem with, not that there's, it's not really a problem, but I guess one of the things now is that things are so instant.
Right.
And you don't, it's have hard to fire somebody instantly.
Right.
Cause then you fire someone for being racist, and if you fucked up at any point of the path, well, you didn't treat this shit the way that, their rights are guaranteed in their contracts and teacher unions and shit, you end up getting sued and losing more money. But at the same time, if you don't react right the fuck away, then your ass looks complicit at least, and like you allow it at best, right? Like it's no.
That's why they do suspensions.
I mean, at worst, I meant. But yeah, it's like it's no. So they have to investigate. They have to do all this shit. But for me, Rod, just sitting out here in the world, I want her fired like the second I found out. Like, I just want someone from school to call her and be like, "You ain't got no job no more, and we want our money back from the checks we already sent you." But I know it doesn't work that way. So, all right, we got episode 1631, R and Bree on the ones and threes.
Yeah, that data.
Bamil 73 says the intro to white people news on this episode, the Utah Congress people rapping about a bill to Fresh Prince, was by far the worst. It was an egregious. It was egregious at best. I was offended. I was so offended that I intend to protest the blackout tips. I'm not gonna protest y'all niggers. I'm gonna protest in a right wing manner. What I'm gonna do is print all the email invoices that I received from paying for that TBGWT premium. Then I'm gonna burn them and upload the video. On a separate note, yeah, I'm gonna buy more of your products and then I'm gonna burn them on TV. On a separate note, the fact that some of these voters didn't watch Get Out did not surprise me, but that's not why I didn't watch the Oscars this year. I've watched the Oscars every year for as long as I can remember. In fact, it's the only award show that I consistently watch because I love movies so much. I love movies, but the music I love isn't represented on the Grammys enough, so I don't watch. I have a different relationship with movies, so I always carved out 4 hours every year to watch that shit. Then last year, something magical happened. Moonlight snatched the Best Picture award from the jaws of La La Land in the 11th hour. As I saw that live and almost busted note of joy, I came to a realization. At that moment, I will never witness something so joyous again. Mm-mm. Not just Moonlight winning, but watching Moonlight roll up, say, "This is a hold up, ain't nothing funny, stop smiling, be still, don't nothing move but the money," as they snatched that shit from La La Land. Memories. Since no one could guarantee that Get Out would do the same to Three Billboards or Fishes Be Fucking, the movie, I decided it best to sit the Oscars out forevermore. Yeah, I don't blame you. Like, that's the thing. I didn't even see The Shape of Water, aka Splash 2, or Sploosh.
Not Splash!
Sploosh, as I like to call it. I didn't even see it, you know, and I'm not even dissing it because I'm sure it's probably great.
That's what everybody been saying.
He's one of my favorite directors, Guillermo del Toro. He's visually outstanding. It's probably a good movie. I don't really like watching the Oscars for two reasons. One, it's so white-centered. Even the shit they applied themselves for this year and last year are very, like, tacit amounts of quote-unquote diversity. Like, we nominated a Negro. Well, I think Oscar So White is over. I think we've done it all, guys. You know, so it's not really my bag. You know, the old white voter thing. And even though they cleared out a lot of them that were inactive, they're still there. And it's kind of a sham. People put campaigns and money towards getting the Oscar, getting in front of the right people. Like, it's never really on the merits of it, and then people talk about it as if it is a meritocracy, which is really weird to me. It's like, to, I can understand talking about like sports like a meritocracy, right? Like the NBA team that won a championship proved they were the best team to me, you know. Maybe football or something less so, but still more like other things I can see you being like, well, we have the definitive proof when this team played this team they were better. Art is so subjective. It's really no point. And maybe that just goes to my philosophy in life. I don't like listening to television show reviews from other people. I don't ask my friends what they thought about movies most of the time. I just don't care. if they told me something was trash, it has no bearing on what the fuck I thought, and maybe I'm some kind of egomaniac or something, but what should matter in art other than what I thought about it for me on that level? You know what I mean? Like, I can't take away my enjoyment or not enjoyment of it because someone else didn't have a good time.
Right.
And I think if people were more honest, that's kind of how a lot of people are. And that means we're all a sum of the interactions we have in society, which means there's going to be some white people that's like, yo, I don't care about black shit in my life. I don't want to watch this black ass movie.
Right. Just like niggas go, I don't have a lot of white shit in my life, so I don't give a fuck about your La La Land.
Right. And then when you watch the black shit, you're still watching it with your arms folded. You know, because there's no such thing as an unbiased, objective viewer of the consumer of these arts. And that's the truth of that's the big truth of the whole thing. So it's kind of like I said, when white people say they like Get Out, I still don't know what the fuck they liked about it. You know, it's not that I want them to not like it. I just really be like, the fuck could you possibly have enjoyed? Or maybe you just don't understand the statement it was making, because it was basically a big ass like, fuck you. You know, and they're if I could have seen Get Out the third time, I would have seen it three times.
Yeah,
you know,
because a lot of them looked at it as a horror movie, and that off top, and that's that ain't it. It was nothing deeper than that.
Right, but it's weird because the horror was whiteness.
Right.
So it's like, what was so scary about it? I'm not trying to get anyone to explain why they didn't. I don't care is my point. And I don't expect much of people is also my point. So it's, you know, to me, I don't really get into the Oscars for that. And yes, black people do the shit. I'm sure other people do it all the time. Like, I've been in the room where Karen's walked out on something that I thought was good, but it had too many white people, and Karen just decided no. And I'm like, yeah, white people do that too, a lot. You know, I'm not gonna fuss at you about it. I'm not gonna try to change your mind. I don't think you need to be better than anybody. But the point is, that's a truth. So why would I ultimately cede to their opinion of what is best? I just don't feel that it's true. And specifically within the last probably like 5 or 10 years, it's been even worse to me, because even when black people have achieved at the level of Oscar, they get the nomination, they get the win, it doesn't affect their careers the way it does for white people.
Nope.
In the same industry. And so that was the tipping point for me, where I was like, I can't be invested in this every year. I don't begrudge anyone who is. It's not a negative towards people who are.
Right.
Hopefully they I can't imagine any black person watching it and not feeling like it's kind of fucked up too, even if they enjoy it. It's like,
correct.
My fave, I'm just rooting for the black shit because I know that regardless of quality, it has the least amount of chance of winning. You know, it's that type of feeling. And I don't like having that feeling for 4 hours in a room full of white people laughing about shit. It's just not my wave. And that's no problem.
Yeah, and a lot of times, in my opinion, the production of most of these shows, because they're predominantly white, are very boring. The music is boring. A lot of the shit they do is very boring. So I'm like, I have more valuable things to do than to waste 4 hours like that. Like the person was saying before, music, I don't give a shit about. Artists, I don't know. I'm just keeping my opinion. So I'm like, why the fuck am I here?
Well, it also depends on how you grew up, right? Like, I didn't grow up with a reverence for certain art, and it's not, correct. And I'm not saying that that's right. Really, if I could go back, I probably would revisit a lot of stuff that I was like, nah, that's white shit, I'm not listening to that no more.
Or
I'm not gonna watch this. So I'm not, like, there's a lot of stuff that people consider classics that are probably good.
Right.
But I don't have the same reverence for that stuff. So sometimes I'm culturally lost within whiteness anyway. You know, there are certain references, certain movies and shit that they feel like are, you know, they have decided for society are these must watch, must, like, these things are the things that make America America, and they make whiteness whiteness, and they make this is what is great. And I'm like, I looked at this and just went, this looks so white, I'm not even gonna participate, you know. And I'm sure I've missed out on some classic great shit, but that's just how it was, the way I grew up. I just didn't grow up in a household where it was like, check out, you have to watch The Breakfast Club. You know, I didn't watch The Breakfast Club.
I did when I was smaller. Yeah,
yeah, like I didn't, you know. That doesn't mean I didn't watch anything white. It's just
right.
Certain shit I just missed, and I went, yeah, I don't have any friends who talk about this.
Right.
I don't, like, it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't watch that. Like, that didn't happen until much later in life when I met white people in my friendship circle that was kind of like, what, you've never seen blank? And I'm like, no. Oh, you know, you play music trivia, and I'm like, I'm useless in music trivia because they ain't playing no rap songs. Like, they play like everything they play, I'm like, I don't know what the name of that is. Mm-hmm. I kind of heard that on the radio a couple times, or when I was at a sports game event,
right, in the background. Right, and they feel the same about black shit,
right? So it's just different, man, you know. I will, you know, but anyway, but I don't begrudge, even if you went back to watching it, I don't begrudge you. And I, like I said, it was just serendipity, man. It was pure luck that day that I had just, I forget, like, I don't think I was watching a game or something.
And it just ended.
And then it just went off, and I turned it to the Oscars, or maybe it was already on the Oscars or something. And just the greatest moment. La La Land taking that fucking trophy, man. It's never, I can never watch the Oscars again. I can never watch any award show again. I'd be just fine, except for the BET Awards. I'll be just fine. Cause that's the best it's ever gonna get, having to give them black people they do. Anyway. Also, Billy Corgan, he's the worst. White people always do this false equivalence shit. I completely agree with you on your assessment that they should all learn all of American history, warts and all. The same story, sort of things that happened up here in Canada, where most white Canadians will dismiss racism as an American thing. Right. Nobody wants to talk about the heinous shit that the government was doing to the indigenous population here.
Come on.
We always hear about the Trail of Tears and slavery, but the Canadian version was never taught in school. No one talks about the genocide that happened here, or the fact that slaves escaped via the Underground Railroad to Nova Scotia, only to find slavery was a thing here too. Or that the black community that descended from those slaves was systemically and institutionally discriminated against as well. Yeah, they got like Haitians and Jamaicans and stuff up there. Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? Like, it's the thing that a lot of people forget about the whole, like, the South was so racist. The South, it was so, cause I mean, the South was racist and it was brutal and there was slave on there and all that shit. But a lot of slaves that did make it to the North, they found out that the racism wasn't a thing of the South. It was a thing of white people.
Come on.
And so you get to the North and you build your own towns and your own communities. And guess who's coming to burn your shit down?
White people.
Guess who don't want you living in their neighborhoods?
White people.
They were fine with you as a concept of somebody who lived a long way away, who was suffering an evil plight. And they could use that to leverage their own, like, I'm so great morally as a white man.
Correct.
I don't have a problem with these blacks. Long as, I don't understand why they do all that down South. Soon as one moves up the street, burn his house down, a nigger. Like, it's, you know, it's so, yeah, I imagine that would go all the way to Canada. Just follow wherever black people showed up.
Correct. And it's the same way racism is looked at today. That concept has never changed. And you have a lot of white people and, you know, a lot of people up North that would tell you that racism doesn't exist up North. Is there white people there? Then yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Jay Matori writes in, I give that Billy Corgan, 25. If it was any other 90s rock star, I'd probably be more fucked with, but Corgan was too irrelevant for anyone to take anything he said seriously. Hell, if I hadn't sold an album in 20 years, and I had just spent the past 5 years unsuccessfully pushing for a reunion tour with my former bandmates, who all hate me now, I'd probably go be racist on live TV too, but not really. Correction. This is the next comment that they wrote. Correction. So it turns out Corgan finally got some of the old pumpkins to reluctantly join him on a reunion tour. Here's the good news. The tour's bombing badly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of Smashing Pumpkins, and I heard, you know, at one period of time, I know they was, like, really, really, really popular, you know, and it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, y'all haven't been around. It's been, like, years.
Yeah, see, I don't know Billy Corgan's, you know, like, politics and shit. I never really was interested in that. But I definitely remember there was like a summer where me and my brother tried to listen to, like, well, my brother's way more worldly musically than me, but we listened to like some different like peep bands, like Oasis, and Smashing Pumpkin was one of them, and they had Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, which was an amazing double album to me. Like, I fucking love that album. But I think Green Day that summer, I listened to them. Jam. My dad was Pearl Jam. I wasn't okay. Pearl Jam. Nirvana was dope to me, that one album with the baby on it, but then like I couldn't understand the fuck that nigga was saying. And then I still don't get how people can shit on mumble rap but fuck with Nirvana, because I'm like, nigga, if that shit classic, then Future classic, because I don't know what none of them niggas talking about. Anyway, point being, I'm not hurt by that dude's politics or anything, but I mean, he was very relevant for a while. Apparently he just is a nutcase. Evie says, I was a fan of alternative rock in the 90s, and I guess the Smashing Pumpkins fell in that category, but Billy Corgan wasn't shit then. I remember him always saying some outrageous things even back then. I guess he's gone full-blown racist despite all his rage. He still looks like a rat in a cage. Yeah, I actually did not know any of his political views. Mm-mm. Or any of that shit.
No,
did himself a disservice.
Saying nothing is free. You can keep all your money sometimes by just be like, I no comment, please.
Nobody was asking, and you didn't have to tell nobody.
Right, and you know, and one of the things, well, you may have actually fucked up the tour. People, you know, people were like, hey, I'm excited. Go, no, I'm not going and dealing with nobody calling me racist for purchasing a ticket to your concert.
And he gonna say he the victim, even though he volunteered these stupid-ass opinions. When people come back on him, he gonna be like, this is the problem with these liberals.
Yeah, and not only that, if I was the other people, I would be pissed at you too, because mm-hmm. I'm coming out of retirement, quote unquote, you know, not playing no more, or he's not playing no more with you, because you know a lot of them continue to tour with variations forever, and I came back and you fucking up my money now because you can't keep your goddamn mouth shut.
Dia says, congrats to Karen for getting down to size 6'8". When I get back into my size 8 jeans, it's over for you hoes. At any rate, I just wear what looks good on me despite the size, so I have various ranges of clothes and shoes sizes in my closet. I still have a dress from when I was heavier, and I just keep getting it tailored to fit me because I like to dress so much. Thanks for another great week of shows. Thank you. The poll was, did you enjoy the Oscars? Yes, no, or I didn't watch it. Yes, 6% enjoyed the Oscars. No, 10% watched it but didn't enjoy it, and 84% of our artists didn't watch the Oscars, which kind of makes sense to me, man. I'm glad we had this show, because I honestly used to feel kind of alone in that, but I think that's just the way big events make everyone feel.
Correct.
When you're not participating, it's like, oh man, no, everybody's watching this thing and I don't really like it or get it, or it's just not my thing.
Right. And like I said, to an extent, I'm more quick to be like, fuck it, and go on do something else. Like, everybody's personality is different with that.
Episode 1632, Almost Nasty. Got a couple comments. Falcons Diva hit us up. She said, hey, Rod and Karen. Y'all don't understand how loud I hollered when Rod first said Almost Nasty. Then when he said the CBC wrote the letter, I lost it. Almost Nasty is peak blackness. Thankfully, I was in my car, and because I queued up the podcast while I was driving, I really didn't see the episode title. I said to myself, this episode should be called Almost Nasty. Then when I got to work, lo and behold, it is. I hollered just one more time. I don't know why this tickled me so bad, but it did. Yeah, it's Almost Nasty is super black. EVE says, as I was listening to you read that story about some Congress members sleeping in the office, I could practically smell the funk. I can't even imagine how musty those offices must smell. I bet Paul Ryan has swamp ass. Ew. Yeah, he like the kind of nigga that work out on a treadmill and don't take a shower.
Right.
Just put on his work clothes over his sweaty underwear.
Right. Or do that shit where they have the gym room freezing. You go in there like, why the fuck it's so cold? That way they can run exercise and not break a good sweat.
Should politicians be able to sleep in their offices rent-free? Yes, so they can get more work done. 7% of y'all think that. And 94% of y'all say no, pay rent like the rest of us.
And take your ass home.
Right.
You mean to tell me you can't rent nothing nearby?
I mean, you know, if you're going to stay in your office, you should at least pay for it.
Right. If you're going to stay in there, pay up.
1633, Simon takes out the trash was this episode. We had Miss Smart. We recapped Walking Dead. D Ramsey PH Dunn says, this episode review 5 stars, Rod. You should think about doing the soundtrack for The Walking Dead. Hashtag Gangsta Lean. That would have made that burial scene even better.
Come on.
This song's dedicated to my homie. Everybody would be like, this show has dropped the jumped the shark.
I know that another good one would have been End of the Road.
Mm-hmm. I had that queued up too.
And what was it, Bones Thugs and Harmony, they had a good one too.
See you at the crossroads.
Yes,
well, you won't be lonely and I'm gonna miss my Uncle Carl, y'all.
Yes.
You know, I forgot to mention this show still has me 8 seasons in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one of the reasons it still has me is as painstaking as long as it took, and the build up, it's just it's so long and just teased out to an infinity. I just did not fuck with that. But nothing is sweeter than Jadis breaking character and talking in English. That is just
that, like, that was worth moment, it all in itself, right? When she put down that act,
when she just had to talk like a normal fucking person, because mm-hmm. the whole time has been driving me crazy for 2 years. I'm like, talk fucking English, dog. I know y'all speak it. It's just been 2 years. No one forgot to speak English that fast. Y'all niggas are not from Mad Max. Just fucking use your verbs and your pronouns and all your prepositions and shit like a normal fucking person. Like, I don't care how y'all talk within your camp, but when another person come to visit, y'all know y'all can use your words, and they just act like, you know, no deal. You saw, been gone. Like, what are you doing? Fucking talk regular. And so when them people died and she had to talk regular, I was smiling so hard, like, good, I knew you could talk regular. You lying motherfucker. Y'all be alive, y'all talk regular. Anyway, Evie says, I think Jadis will have had enough crazy to be a killer for Team Rick. Yeah, she backstabbed them, but I think her hate for Simon and the Saviors will be greater. At the very least, she can kill off a couple Saviors before they shoot her down. I hear you, Evie, but my question is this. Can she fight?
True question.
We actually don't really know. She punched Simon and knocked him down. We do know that. But I don't know that any of them Junk the Cons can fight. Mm-mm. All they did was run. They show up with holding guns to make you think they have superior numbers. The second the fighting start, they leave.
They run.
Their whole thing was, we take, don't bother. I don't like that. As someone on my team, I'm not a big fan of that. You know, what's she gonna paint cat statues for everybody? Nobody want that. What's your skill, Jadis? So, but I do hope she becomes alpha though.
Me too, that'll be lit.
The poll was, should Rick have killed Jadis? Yes. No, just leave her there. Or no, but he should have taken her with him.
I say see.
All right. Yes, 32% say he should have killed her. No, 14% basically say just leave her there. Don't kill her. Don't take her with you. So just do what he did. You know, leave her there. And 54% agree with Karen. So the majority of people agree with you.
Yeah, because she's gonna be a problem.
He shouldn't have killed her, but he also should have taken her with them.
Correct.
All right, that's one way to do it. I would not have done it that way. I would have either killed her or taken her with us.
Yeah, because you can't.
I don't like the way he did it, you know,
because like I said, that's gonna be a problem.
All right, we had some emails. Let's get into these. The email is theblackoutist@gmail.com. Dear Rod and Karen, thank you both. This podcast has been my accidental but desperately needed ingestion of my red pill. Y'all the friends I wish I had growing up, the dopest of the dopest. This email will be followed by the 5-star podcast rating. Please don't ever stop doing what you love. Hopefully that's this show. I've learned, I've laughed, I've gotten through so many days, these topics, these games, so much fun, the beautiful blackness, there's just something about the perfect melting of it all. What y'all do is just so special. It saved me, it inspired me, and it has changed me. Thank you. Rest in peace, Fetty Carl. Thank you.
Aww.
Appreciate you, Mr. Stanley. Appreciate you, dog. JY writes in, Jane, okay, Jane writes in, Black History Meal, episode 1627. Rod, when I heard about that Black History Meal controversy, I thought, seriously? Hearing the details, I kind of get why they were upset. It wouldn't have stopped me from getting a plate had I been a student, but I get it. I work at a PWI, and we had a soul food soiree the last...
Not a soiree?
Mm-hmm. Soul food soiree. That sounds fancy.
Right, sounds Frenchy.
Well, it was the French chicken came with umbrellas in it or something.
No.
What was the fried chicken?
Chicken souffle? What's right. happening here?
It's macaroni and creme brulee.
Come on. Enjoy. You gotta crack it. Right. With a blowtorch.
Right. It's potato salad, but the potato salad is actual salad. It is, it comes with a salad and a potato.
Yes!
anyway, the last Sunday of Black History Month. However, the event was organized and hosted by Black students on a campus. Maybe if NYU had included the students in the plan, the whole thing could have been avoided. That's a great point.
Okay, then they could have been like, well, it was a group effort.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't want to belittle what the kids did. I'll just say, if you told me there was a Black History Meal, that's what the fuck I'm expecting when I show up. Except they had no fried chicken. Other than that,
they had greens.
That meal they described, I believe they did have greens.
Okay, I'm with that then.
But the meal that they described just didn't have fried chicken, which they probably, white people probably avoided out of oversensitivity.
Right.
It's too on the nose. I don't know. Every Sunday my cafeteria serve fried chicken at my HBCU, so like, I don't know, dog. I don't think I would have been offended, but I think that's because I knew at my HBCU that menu was for and by Black people by and large, so it just never came across my mind to be offended at any of that shit. And I guess for Black students that are already in a white space, they're probably on the lookout in a way that I wasn't.
Right, so their experience was different, and you'd have some people that have just been against it all together. Like, why the fuck do you even need this?
What do you mean? A Black History Meal?
Yes.
You mean Black people being against it?
Yes. Some Black people are like, we don't need a Black, just serve us regular shit like everything else. Why I gotta be called a Black History Meal? You know, you'd have had a subsection of people that would have been like that, regardless of if you would have allowed people to participate or not.
Yeah, we're not a monolith, that's for sure. No. I would have been mad as hell at them niggas.
Right, I'm like, look, y'all canceled the greens and the beans and the collard greens, the cornbread, we can't have none of this no more.
Like, cause y'all mad, the fuck?
Right, nobody care about your goddamn protest outside while I'm going home with my to-go plate.
Like, you know how much whack shit them niggas probably eat on the daily?
Come on, with no seasoning and shit.
Right, right.
Nasty shit, grits with no butter and salt and pepper.
Like, they probably eat a lot of shit that they just be like, this is
oatmeal
horrendous.
With no honey. You know, what the fuck is this?
Right. Not what, well, we don't want to offend nobody, so this is what we gotta eat.
Gogan's berries or so, some shit you can't pronounce. You be like, what the fuck is this? Orzo. What is this bullshit?
Right. I'm in there like, man, offend me. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you can make all that shit taste good with seasoning.
Right. Like, I ain't that sensitive. Y'all, please. Mm-hmm. Please go ahead and offend me and all my friends. We'll get over it.
Mm-mm. And then you know you ain't gonna have no green beans. You're gonna have string beans, and them tits is not the same.
Right. Just
peas in the pod and shit. You gonna be like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Like, would y'all like another day of white food? Nah. Mm-mm. Let's mix it up. You know. Mm-mm. Well, isn't this racist? You know what? I'll allow it today. Mm-mm. Let's go ahead and be racist then. If that's the case, I will definitely.
I'm good. Mm-mm.
I'll definitely allow.
No sweet potato pie. The pies is pumpkin. There's a big difference between the two.
Right. Like, I will actually.
Ain't they the same, bitch? No, they not. They not the same. It's a completely different taste.
Right. Actually, sir, we just had plain rice today. You know what? Let's go ahead and black this up.
Like, no gravy. No.
Somebody get
gravy.
The Lowry's.
They look at you crazy. Who uses gravy? Mm-mm. Unless you're serving turkey. You be like, oh, let me leave.
I come in there like this.
But look at it! Look!
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbit. You beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, dog. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, dog. Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbit. You beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, greens, potatoes, greens, potatoes, beans, 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 greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, chicken, turkeys, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes.
You made it.
Wouldn't have been mad at all, dog.
Honey, you'd be mad. Yeah, I'd have been twerking. I'd have been out there. Is this a no fraternity? So I am food by food. What the fuck is you serving up in this bitch today?
Food by food. All right, we got another email. Who's this one from? Miss Jocelyn. Okay, she says, "Dear Karen and Rod, I apologize for the delay in writing this promised email. I just got home Tuesday morning. I'm back at work. Seeing Black Panther in Paris was an interesting experience because the movie was in English and French subtitles. My daughter and I would laugh at a joke, and then a few seconds later, the rest of the audience would laugh. So,
oh, because they could understand. Oh, and everybody else was reading. That's hilarious.
Some things, of course, are culturally American, so references didn't always translate.
Right.
I live in San Francisco and was visiting my daughter who lives in Paris. I've seen the movie before I left Paris, so I knew it was coming. But then when Oakland, California came up on the screen, my daughter yelled out, "Bay Area?" There's a specific way that it's called out, but I don't expect y'all to know because how we do it on the West Coast. No one else in the theater reacted at all. As for the audience makeup, I'd say it was like 60% Black, 40% other, mostly white, of course. But of course, the Black folks are either French or come from former French colonies of the continent, like Cameroon. I don't know how to pronounce this.
Right. So it's a different relationship to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Senegal or Côte d'Ivoire. I don't know that one. Côte d'Ivoire. Let's just go with that. So since there's not a lot of talking during the movie, we got some insight on the Black French take on the film afterwards. When we went to get some food at a cafe across the street, there were a group of Black folks waiting on the table who had obviously just seen the movie. I say obviously because they were holding 3D glasses. I was hella mad that we had to see it in 3D as a person who wears glasses. I hate having to wear glasses on top of glasses, but they make you purchase the glasses. Trifling. Purchase? Damn. But yeah, I also hate wearing glasses on top of my glasses. Whenever we do a 3D movie, I almost always try to clean my contacts. Right. My daughter and I speak French. I studied in high school as an exchange student, enjoyed it for the most part, and the stories I could tell you of French racists. So continue to study in college and sent her to a French school here in San Francisco. Tip, there were hardly any Black folks applying to that school because tuition is more than I paid for college. However, because they want diversity, there's an almost unlimited amount of need-based financial aid. We asked this group if they liked the movie. When they realized we're American, they asked us to join them. Despite what you may have heard, French people actually love Americans. Sorry this is so long, so here are the takeaways. They love seeing a screen full of Black people. The hunger for representation is universal. They all love Shuri's use of the word colonizer. You know, some of the countries have only had independence for 50 years. The fact that Black women were revered as warriors resonated so deeply, a couple women started to tear up when talking about it. Every single person intended to see it again. And specifically, African pride they felt was almost indescribable. Africa has always been portrayed in the media as a monolith, not as 56 separate countries and cultures. It has been seen as a place to rape and pillage its land, natural resources, and of course its peoples. The folks I talked to said the movie is important because they already knew less riches the Afrique. What? Less richesses de Afrique. The richness of Africa. Oh, okay. They wanted the world to know that art, beauty, and sorry if this is a bad translation, they use the word talent, but I think they meant more like capability, also exists all over the continent.
Okay.
It was a wonderful experience to have those conversations, and I'm lucky to have had the opportunity. Thank you both for your show. I'm late to the game just recently in the last year, found you, and I'm so glad I did. Love you guys. At Jocelyn, and she's at La_Bavardius. I don't know how to pronounce. I'm fucking up these pronunciations so bad. Anyway, she also said, "P.S. Karen, mm-hmm. you inspired me to live my best white woman of color life.
Yes!
I have a dog and could not afford to board him for the month I was gone. My niece, who lives in the Seattle area, agreed to watch him, but I don't have a car. And renting one way was also too expensive. I asked one of the white people I see who feel like they can take their dogs anywhere how I could fly my dog up to Seattle. As suggested my white advisor, I paid $175 to a doctor to have my dog certified as an emotional support animal.
Come on!
Girl, I was given priority boarding, seating, and my dog, a pit bull, just laid down on the floor in front of my seat for free. Who knew? White folks knew. Yes, I was a hypocrite. I rolled my eyes at these people so often, I thought they might get stuck backwards. But if it works for the whites, it damn sure needed to work for me. Oh my God.
Bravo. Listen. Bravo. Use the system in your favor, baby. Bravo.
An icon, a legend. Your fame can never, I can't even imagine, I can't even, I don't even have the ability to process that.
Bruh. Work the system.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's all I gotta say. That's amazing. You was on the plane.
We need emotional support too.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. And Trey writes in, Rod and Karen, I guess you, wait, Rod and Karen Morrow. What? Is why are we being so formal? I guess you can add me to the list of apologies for the white acoustic cover hate. Wow, I saw that Sporting Ways Atlanta episode, and that's when I knew some of the writers on Atlanta must listen to the Blackout Tips podcast. All I could do is laugh my ass off and think of this awesome ass podcast. Ryder Karen, y'all made it. Ha ha ha. Yeah, I hashtag blew up after everybody watched Sporting Waves episode of Atlanta, because it ends with a white woman singing a rap cover.
That shit was hilarious.
And she was singing a rap cover to fucking Paperboy song.
Yes! It was like, Paperboy, all about that Paperboy.
And it was in the ending credits as well.
Yes, it just started playing out the blue, which was actually fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and that was like the second week in a row that something we talk about on the show often happened on there. I'm trying to think what happened.
Florida Man.
Yeah, the Florida Man thing, a lot. Like,
Florida Man was hilarious.
Although Florida Man isn't like exactly us. Like, we just say, oh, Florida.
Right.
That Florida Man conspiracy was really more of something they came up with. I wouldn't count that as. Mm.
But it's a running joke about the state of Florida.
Right. I can't remember what else it was, but I think that was it. Somebody said next week if they do Sword Ratchetness, then we'll know for sure. If they listen to the show, I was like, hey man, if they listen to the show, I mean, you know how I already feel about Donald Glover and crew, but I think it's just certain shit. We just getting to see such black shit on TV, and black people kind of talk about these things already, so it's probably just complete coincidence,
right? Because so many people talk about it.
But I laughed so hard when I seen that fucking cover, because I was like, oh my God, yes. That, and so many people got to enjoy it and laugh.
Yes,
because they've been prepared, because I taught y'all to wax on, wax off. Okay, show me paint the fence. Y'all didn't know I was teaching y'all mental kung fu against the savagery of white colonizers taking our music and deflecting it back to us with no soul or seasoning. I did that so you wouldn't have to go through that. You're welcome.
So it won't be a shock to your system.
Right. Everybody was able to take it. How many of y'all would have just thrown a remote to TV, broke a TV, now you ain't got a TV because you heard that white woman sing that seasonless song?
Come on.
Y'all are so welcome.
Ain't no flavor in it.
Good grief. Thanks again, Rob, for the email back about going premium. That info is exactly what I need to know, so I can't wait to go premium because I know you guys are worth it. Anyways, one love and Wakanda forever. Wakanda forever back at you, brother.
Thank you.
And I think that's everything. This is a short one. Appreciate y'all for listening. Cool. And I'm gonna go to the movies again today. So, I only got one more movie to see after this. But I did, you should be getting spoiler movie reviews soon for, Gringo, which I saw yesterday with David Oyelowo. And I really liked, some good cooning up in there. I'm gonna see Hurricane Heist.
Have Hurricane Heist,
and then hopefully I can see Death Wish, but it's looking dicey if I can see Death Wish before this week is out. And then the money it's not making, I don't know if that shit gonna be around for 3 weeks, so
right.
We'll see if I can make it to Death Wish, but
before they be like, you know what, let's make another theater for Black Panther.
Right. But thank y'all so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m probably around then. And tomorrow also, me and Bossy are doing our this is us recap, this too much. Let me look at my phone messages, I'll tell you the exact time. But yeah, we're gonna be doing it Sunday at 3. So tomorrow at 3 we should be doing our This Is Us recap. So all right guys, thanks so much for listening. Yes. And we appreciate y'all, and we will talk to y'all later. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.